One of my favorite places in Europe for a hearty hike is in the Pyrenees Mountains. Those are the mountains that make the border between France and Spain. Joining us now on Travel with Rick Steves with tips for some of the fun outdoor activities you can enjoy in Spain is Agustin Cerisa. Agustin lives in the heart of Basque Country in San Sebastian. He's won surfing championships, and he specializes in taking visitors on outdoor sporting adventures. Activities like downriver canoeing, sea kayaking, paddleboarding, mountain biking, and hiking in northern Spain. Agustin, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
When you think about, first of all, the mountains of Iberia, you know, Americans usually think of the Swiss Alps and so on. Talk about the mountains of Spain.
The mountains of Spain, the main mountain range is the Pyrenees.
Mm-hmm.
And there you find at least 13 peaks over 12,000 feet where you can find all kind of ski resorts for the wintertime, which become a big spot for hiking and biking in the springtime and the summertime. And it's a good option for being in contact with nature, hiking through the valleys, mountain biking. There's a nice mountain bike train called the Transpirineys, the Transpirenaica, which goes from the Cantabric coast, the northwest of Spain, all the way to the Mediterranean
Sea. So the Transpyrenees mountain bike trail, going from the Atlantic coast of the mountains all the way to Catalonia.
Yeah, the Mediterranean
coast. Where Barcelona is.
Yeah,
wow.
Right.
And you can do that by mountain bike.
Yeah. Yeah, in 28 days.
28 days.
Depending on how fit you are.
Now, would you stay in mountain huts along the way, or would
yes.
you stay in villages, or what?
You can choose. You can always choose. You can free camp all along the way, or you can use the campsites or stay at little hotels. It's all up to you.
So you can ski in the winter, and you can mountain bike or hike all the way through the summer. Also, you talk about downriver canoeing. What's that?
There's several spots along the Pyrenees where you can go whitewater rafting, whitewater kayaking, downriver canoeing. And those places are by different valleys. One is the one coming down from the Ordesa National Park.
Uh-huh.
There's one place called Ainsa where you had to go for all these kind of activities. There's one other place called Murillo de Gallego down south under the Pyrenees where you can combine the canyoning as well, the hiking, mountain biking, and the downriver.
Now, canyoning is something that a lot of adventure sports enthusiasts do in the Alps.
Yeah.
And this is basically putting on pads and hanging onto a rope and going down like a bag of potatoes into a canyon and bam, bam, bam through the water.
Diving into pools. And
it sounds very dangerous, and it sounds like sort of hitting yourself in the face a lot of times in a row.
If you're following a guide and instructor, that's safe enough. But
is that
if
right?
you're going on your own and into a new canyon, you have to, you know, take care of yourself pretty much.
And this is one of the sports that you lead as a guide?
Yeah, yeah, that's
okay.
right. That's
so now, in your business, what are the most popular adventure sports in Spain as far as, you know, how much business you get?
Yeah, probably hiking is the most popular. It has become, mm-hmm. it's very accessible for all kind of people. It's not like mountain biking or kayaking that it requires some skills for the people,
mm-hmm.
of the people. But in this case, hiking, there's all kind of people from different ages, different shape that are doing this activity.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm speaking with Agustin Cerisa. We're talking about adventure sports in Spain. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Joan is calling in from Miami in Florida. Joan, thanks for your call.
Hi. My husband and I and another couple are planning a trip for about 10 or 11 days, and our question is, we're senior citizens, and we're in fairly good shape, but we have the usual aches and pains, knees, and so forth. We want to do a little bit something outdoorsy like hiking, biking, canoeing. And it sounds like, from what I've just heard, that hiking might be our best bet.
Yes.
What's your advice?
Probably hiking. I mean, listening to you, hiking, you can always choose what kind of hike you want to be able to hike, depending on the length of the hike and the steepness of the
uh-huh.
of the area where you're going to.
And you find a guide who would help us with that, or
yes,
how
yes,
would that
depending
go?
On the area, this all uh-huh. well controlled, and all the instructors and guides have to be kind of legal official. You can hire them, and then they will take you on different routes, and you can ask them, you can tell them your age or how much of experience you have, your skills on, you know, orientation and hiking, and these guides will help you.
Now, Agustin, if Joan is going on a hike and hiring you to help her around, her and her husband around, one of my best memories was staying in a mountain hut in Ordesa. How would you incorporate actually sleeping in a mountain hut into the itinerary?
Oh, that, sounds great.
Yeah, because that's where I met so many people and had beautiful food. Yes. And, you know, it's just, there's something really romantic about just taking off your boots after a good hike high in the mountains of a country you've never hiked in and be surrounded by other hikers. Yep. Talk about the mountain huts in the Pyrenees.
Yes, you can take day trips or several day trips, and then you can spend what we call refugios. That would be one of these
huts. Like a mountain
huts.
Refuge. Yeah.
So, yeah, mountain refuge. And you just pay a little fee to sleep in. You bring your sleeping bag. You get some food if you like, or you can, you know, use your little stove and cook your own meal.
Do they cook food there if you have no stove?
Depending on the refuge.
So you would know as a guide which one to go
to. Yes, yes.
But you said a little money. What would it cost for a mattress in one of these mountain refuges?
€10 per night.
10 euros. So $15, Joan, and you got yourself a bed in
That's
the middle
great.
Of the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Joan, for your call.
Thank
I hope
you.
I think that's, you know, that sounds like a fun mix of culture and adventure and outdoors to be hiking in the mountains of Spain.
Well, that's what we're hoping. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Take care.
Thanks to you.
Augustine, anybody can get a map and go hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to pay for a guide to go hiking?
Well,
what value would it bring me?
It's kind of when you take a cultural tour or a city tour. It would be the same thing. You're meeting somebody local who knows pretty well the area, and he's going to be giving you advices of, well, I usually talk when I'm hiking about all kind of things of the area. I mean,
the nature.
Yeah, nature. Obviously nature, geology, birds, a lot of birds and then animals in the area, but also the lifestyle of the farmers as well, what they're living on, what they're producing.
Because that's one thing about Europe is when you're out in the outdoors, you're also connecting with the culture because the population density is higher and there's been people there for centuries.
Yep.
So you encounter Basque shepherds or something.
That's
and you can
right.
find a little hut and you can check out the traditional cheese.
That's right.
And you would know these things.
And you will see it. And you will see caves that were used for smugglers. I mean, for smuggling or for taking people during the Second World War away from France into Spain because this mountain range is separating France from Spain.
Wow.
There's so many things to talk about. I mean, during the dictatorship, it was used as, the smugglers would hide all the products inside the caves as well. And
when you say the dictatorship, you're talking about Franco.
Franco.
Yeah. Nino's on the phone from Northridge, California. Nino, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. Thank you very much. Augustine, this is great. We're planning to fly into Barcelona, and we want to take a biking trip. We normally bike between 35 and 45 miles a day when we go. We've followed Rick's advice on a couple of European trips and taken a couple of bike tours already, one in Austria and one in Italy. And so I was wondering what you might recommend for us in the Pyrenees area of Spain.
Good. Barcelona is kind of 3 hours' drive from the Pyrenees. You can either hire a company in Barcelona that would take you to the Pyrenees on a several-day trip, or you would drive yourself to a place like Noguera Pallaresa, which is a nice valley where you can find all kind of outdoor sports, and then there you will be able to hire a company to do the same thing. So you have, according to mountain biking, I would approach to the Pyrenees and there hire any of the companies running the...
So you would go to some sort of an outdoor town or resort up in a high valley in the Pyrenees Mountains, and there you would find a small company that rents bikes.
Yes.
And you could either go on your own or you could take one of their tours for a day or several days.
That's where I mean. Flying into Barcelona and then head straight away to the Pyrenees.
Now, we're kind of talking Pyrenees, but that's just the northern edge of Spain. If Nino wants to go biking anywhere else in Spain, what are a couple of good places where people enjoy biking, cross-country bike tours?
Down south, Granada, the Sierra.
Oh, the Sierra Nevada by Granada.
There's a nice trail there.
So, Nino, these are the mountains between Granada and the Mediterranean coast, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
South of Granada a little bit.
Okay, so between Granada and Malaga.
Yeah, it's a nice round trip all around the
A round trip from Granada, that would be great.
As well.
What was the trail you mentioned that would be in the Granada area?
The Sierra Nevada, the Nevada Sierra. That is the biggest ski resort in Spain, and that is this nice round-trip trail.
How many days would that bike path be?
6 to 7.
6 to 7 days. Nino, that could be good.
That sounds perfect for us.
Yeah.
That's just what we were looking for.
And you can fly into Granada. Granada has the cutest airport. There's good flights into Granada, and it's just like you're right there in the town, and then... pick up a bike and make that your base and do a 1 week bike circle from there. What's another, Augustine, if you wanted to do more biking? Because a lot of people, you know, they're not mountain climbers, but they're active and they want to get out and enjoy the wind in their face. Where's another place that would be good for biking?
Something that has become very popular is this St. James Way.
St. James, the Camino de Santiago. That's right. You can bike the pilgrimage path as well, mountain bike it, as well as hike it.
And it has different routes. It has the main way, which is pretty flat and easy.
Yeah.
Or you have the north way, which is very hilly and steep.
So, Nino, do you know about the Camino de Santiago?
No. I know I had a colleague from work that hiked it. He said he and his family spent a month walking that way. But yeah. I didn't know you could bicycle on it.
Yeah.
I think you generally take 1 month to make the hike from the Pyrenees to Santiago de Compostela.
There are 33 stages.
Right.
Non-stop would take you 33 days.
Okay, but you could bike it.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of
How long would it take to bike? What portion of the path would you recommend for biking for, let's say, a week bike trip?
Hiking would be 18, 20 miles a day. I would bike 40 miles or 50, depending on, you know, your shape.
We do 40 to 50 miles a day. That's not a problem.
Nino, that's the way to do it. Do the Camino de Santiago. It's so historic. It's so many cool people along the way. And there's refugios. There's these huts all along the way that are friendly and almost free and a great camaraderie. Nino, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you, Augustine.
Thanks to you.
We're exploring some of the ways you can liven up your next trip to Spain with Augustine Sarisa. He's a private tour guide based in Basque Country. And besides city and winery tours, he specializes in guiding visitors through a variety of adventure sports in Spain. His website is gorilla-trip.com. Our phone number at Travel with Rick Steves is 877-333-7425. Gordy from Oceanside in California is on the line. Gordy, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Augustine.
Hola. Hola, ¿qué tal?
Yeah. I'm a traveler into Madrid and Barcelona last year. Got to do all that, and I'm interested now in going back and doing some sporting events along Costa del Sol, if there are any available there. And I'm a water guy and interested in some skin diving, maybe some sea kayaking, sailing adventure, and also some spectator sports, if there's anything available along there. Maybe you have to go to Barcelona for that, but that's kind of what I'm interested in, and I was wondering what you might recommend.
So Gordy's talking about the Costa del Sol. That's the south coast of Spain, a strip of resorts basically on the Mediterranean where everybody goes for their fun in the sun. What's some ideas there for Gordy?
In the south, sea kayaking and sailing would be the best bet.
Okay.
I mean, the Mediterranean Sea is quite quiet in summertime, May, springtime. So I would recommend to go sailing pretty much or sea kayaking. Now it's has become very popular, the stand-up paddling. You know, the paddle surfing?
Paddleboarding.
Yes.
Paddleboarding.
Yes.
Yeah, it has become pretty popular, and you can find that in most of the places.
In most of the towns, I'm sure you could rent the gear.
Yes, you can. You know, all the surf shops would rent you all the equipment.
Now, how would you compare the Costa del Sol with the Basque coast?
Up north is rough. The coast is rough, and you get all the hills reaching the seaside. While we're getting, as I said, it's pretty consistent on swells. It's rough as well. The looking is greener up north. We get more rain and more rainfall along the year than in down south. It's not as hot as it is in down south in Costa del Sol in Malaga, but we have nice weather, nice temperatures along summertime, a nice sea breeze, which makes the feeling nicer than down south, which can be very hot.
Very hot in the summer.
Yes.
All right, Gordy, have fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Yes, enjoy your time.
Bye-bye.
Augustine, now you're Basque, and when we go to Basque country, that's the area where Spain sort of hits France and the Atlantic, there's a lot of great ways to appreciate nature. Talk about the fun you can do outdoors in Basque country just for a minute or so.
Yes. Well, the Basque country along the coast, you can enjoy the ocean, sailing, sea kayaking, surfing. The whole coast is very important because of the consistent swells that are hitting the Basque Country from September till April.
But the surf is basically always up in Basque Country then.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Constant swells.
Yes.
And then sea kayaking. Now that sounds very exciting, very adventurous, and very accessible.
Yes, it is. It's something you can do along the coast. I mean, it's very nice.
What would you see? Why would it be great?
Well, one place to go is the, Guernica, famous for the painting. That area, there's a nice natural reserve called Urdaibai, which is it's a kind of a big estuary. It's a river flowing into Guernica, making a big estuary into the sea. You find places like Mundaka. from there, you can start sea kayaking and get to Leketia, which is a very nice fishing village.
I love Leketia. And I was just thinking, that's the one town I know on the Basque coast, and it is just dramatic.
And that is from Lleida, which is a little town outside Guernica. You have this 4 or 5 hours kayaking trip to get to Leketia.
Now, if you are done with your exercise for the day and you just want to see some Basque sports, I get the sense that Basques are kind of like the Scottish people. They're into big man endurance sports. What are some of these fun man-on-man kind of sports?
Well, the most popular would be the basketball, the hayalai.
Okay.
The hayalai would be one of the most popular.
And that's like just whipping that handball around. It's like kind of like handball with a scoop.
Yes, with a big net, a big basket.
Very fast game.
The fastest game, ball game in the world.
Now, you can see it in an arena with the professionals, but it seems like every town has a hayalai court.
Yes, that's...
Is this just for kids to play before dinner or something?
Good question. But all of us, we raised playing with a handball. I mean, since I was a kid, I would do so. Every neighborhood in San Sebastian has a basketball court to play in.
Okay, so like Americans have a basketball court or a baseball diamond, you would have a handball court.
That's right. That's right.
But I was thinking about tug-of-war and lifting stones and cutting logs. Do you have those kind of competitions?
On a special days, yes, we have. I mean, in little towns, when they're having the festival, every summer festival, you'll be able to see so. Also, on the French side, they're very good at that. July, August, they have every day places like Saint-Jean-de-Luz, Biarritz, Bidart. You can have one of those exhibits on, you know, rural sports, we call.
Rural sports.
Yeah.
Okay, so after all of this surfing and this handball and this hayalai and this rural sports, and you're very thirsty after a long day and you're in Basque country, what are you going to drink?
The local wine is the best option.
And what is that?
It's Chacoli.
Chacoli.
Chacoli. What it makes this wine so unique is the vineyards are very close to the sea, to the shore.
So the vineyards are right on the close to the shore, so it's like kind of a salty kind of...
That's right. That's right. The sea breeze is leaving the salt on the skin of the grape, and the tannins are absorbing the salt and is giving that special taste. And then how you pour the wine on the glass makes it a kind of a cultural experience.
So it is sort of a theatrical thing. If I remember, they pour it sort of showboating. They pull the jug very high and it drops down about a meter before it hits the glass.
That's right. That's right.
And it's not a glass. It's a ceramic cup. Is that the chocolate or?
It's a glass. Actually, it's a big glass and you want to break the wine into the glass to emphasize the taste.
So that's why you cascade it down for 1 meter so that you break the wine. And give it and open up the flavor.
Yes, it gets the oxygen and you emphasize the taste inside your
mouth. Sort of like slapping you in the face, but for your wine, so it's more alive.
That's right.
All right, there's so many ways to be alive in Spain, and it helps to have a guide to enjoy the adventure sports of that exciting part of Europe. Agustín Cerisa, thank you so much for sharing a little insight into adventure sports in Spain.
Thanks to you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Our website team includes Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You'll find more online, including links to our guests, program extras, and a chance to join us as a caller on the show. Look in the radio section of ricksteves.com and join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.